Let's head down to 21B. This is Draz's seat. Oh, trust me, I would love to see Draz gone. Oh, I would indeed love to see Draz gone. Kind enough to join us right now is Elise Dieslin. Did I say that right? Dieslin, Elise?
Yep, you're correct.
Yeah, Elise Dieslin, she is running for 21B, the DFL-endorsed candidate for 21B. She's kind enough today to join us to talk about her campaign. Hi, Elise, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. I'm really excited to be here today. Thank you for the invitation.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking some time and talking with us here. I know you're busy, you're still doing work, and you're doing this. Let's find out a little bit of information, though, first. Who exactly is Elise Dieslin?
Hi. So I'm a resident of Elgin, Minnesota. It's located about 20 minutes northeast of Rochester. I'm currently a city council member in our town of about 1,000 people. And I work full-time at the University of Minnesota Rochester campus.
And can I ask what you do over there?
Yeah, sure. I work in the marketing and communications department.
Ooh, and my son's going to college. He did look at your university down there. Very nice. You got a nice facility down there. Rochester, you know, it's becoming a larger city, and you're seeing that impact all the surrounding communities there. So that's a really cool thing because that's good money. I mean, it's good to see that kind of growth. That's the kind of growth we like to see.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So you are a city council member. What prompts you to all of a sudden say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to try to win the House seat here because I just do not agree with the representation we have right now. What was the thing that put you over the edge that said, you know what, I'm running for 21B?
So originally I ran for the first time for this seat in 2016, basically for the reason you stated, but it was really difficult in 2016 to get anyone excited about it. Drazkowski has been in for over 10 years, and he's been our representative in 21B for just about 10 years now. And I know that there are a ton of people in the district that are looking for change. And in 2016, it was really difficult to find anyone that would step up and help with that effort. And so I said, why not me? I've been involved with campaigns before. I've been a treasurer before, and I work and volunteer with my local county unit. And so I kind of know the ins and outs of campaigning a bit. My undergraduate is in graphic design and political science, so I thought I could be prepped to do it. Unfortunately, I didn't win in 2016, and I ended up getting written into city council. So that happened in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And currently represent city council, as mentioned, and the opportunity arose again for 2020 to try and flip this seat blue. And it's always worth trying, and so we said, let's do it. This can be the year. So hopefully this can be the year.
Well, and here's what I'll say, because you bring up a point that I'll hear a lot of, is that why are you bringing in these Democrats? Now, first of all, we should not be just handing seats to Republicans, period. That is not America. That doesn't do anyone any good. But the reality is that I think that the DFL is Democratic farmer labor. I mean, the farmers have always been part of the DFL. The Republican Party, I mean, you see it with Drazkowski, I imagine, down there all the time. They've not brought the broadband in. This trade war has been a disaster. They have not made, I mean, the margins for farmers are worse and worse every single year. Education in rural America is getting worse, and all they're doing is vilifying teachers the entire time. Healthcare is not good in rural America, and now we're in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, let's face it, we are at a point where the reality is, if you are in, I don't care which district you're in, voting Republican is insanity because it's not helping you. And so by getting out there, not only are we're forcing people to pay attention in these districts of what is good leadership, but as well, we do pick up some of these seats. We saw that in 2018. We saw quite a few of the seats, you know, in what was considered to be traditional Republican areas. They went to the DFL. And so, I mean, these are seats that can be picked up. And as you said, you kind of implied there with your introduction, it's a changing district, which is starting to get more, I don't want to say it's suburban, but more and more people in your district are working in Rochester. And so it's the dynamic of the district is changing. Would you agree with that too?
Yeah, I would. And I want to point out that you said handing seats to Republicans is not American. But I want to point out that handing seats to any one party all the time is just simply not American. It's not a representative democracy. And that was the reason I ran the first time. Right? Mm-hmm. We can't be monolithic. And so I'm sure there are people on the opposite side that think seats are just handed out to Democrats. But there should be change in leadership. There should be change in your representation. And it should not constantly stay the exact same because attitudes change, perspectives change, I think having a young voice in this seat, in this district, would really help our district.
Well, and let's face it, Drazkowski and his policies of the last 10 years have been from the Stone Age. All right, so let's talk about this. We get you into the Minnesota House, yay. For 21B, what do you want to champion for the district?
I really want to focus on funding K-12 education. Both my parents work in K-12 education, so it's huge for me on a personal level. Minimizing the needs for student loans in higher education is also huge for me. I'm someone who graduated with thousands of dollars in debt in undergrad. I'm 30 years old, so I'm in that demographic of students, right? I just graduated this spring with my master's, and so not only do I have undergrad debt, I've now added graduate debt on top of that too. And if we could kind of help those students that are trying to further their education, and not only further their education, but further their careers, it's not just, I'm going to get an education because I want it. Millennials, especially, are trying to do as much as they possibly can to better themselves in the workforce and be able to survive and thrive in any generation that has come before us. So education is huge, especially the funding of it. And then I would like relief for farm families. Obviously, this district is huge for farm families. And then overall, destigmatizing mental health.
Let's go back to the funding issue, and this is something we've talked about, and this is not universal to rural or metro. I mean, we've got a funding problem. The only schools that seem to really be funded correctly are the big suburban schools because their tax base is so huge, they have the advantage. But inner city schools in Minneapolis-St. Paul and the rural schools, we have to look at how education is funded, because right now the current system, school districts shouldn't have to constantly go hat in hand for referendum after referendum after referendum just to get basics in these classrooms. I think that, you once again, this is one of the big problems we have. We have to really readdress how we fund education.
Yes, definitely. I completely agree. Well, the other thing, too, with especially in rural areas, schools are oftentimes your community,
yeah.
Right? As soon as a school folds, the community folds with it. And so keeping these little rural schools afloat is huge for these local communities because, like I said, as soon as a school folds, oftentimes the community goes with it.
Well, and we can also apply that same standard to the agriculture. You know, the trade war has been a nightmare. But when you lose your local co-op, the town does. I mean, I lived in Iowa for many years. It's, you know, you lose your co-op, it's, the town's gone. It's usually fairly quickly afterwards as well. But yet here we are. We're in the same situation where the ag markets have not been good. I mean, prices are very low. Farmers are not making hardly any money off of it. And you know, we have to look at if we're going to have a viable product, we used to have leadership that looked to create new avenues for our farmers instead of restricting where our farmers can sell stuff. And right now, Drazkowski is part of that Republican mentality of, you know, we're going to destroy our trade markets. And, you know, that's, I think we can all agree, that's not going to help the farmer if you're destroying the trade markets.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Mm-hmm. When you look at what we're with this current pandemic here, one of the other things I think we've talked about with a lot of rural Democrats is the idea of broadband, because now these empty promises from the Republican Party for decades in regards to broadband expansion are really coming home to roost, especially when we have school districts that are going to have to look at probably some sort of remote learning model coming up in the school year. Healthcare. We've had a healthcare system that's been slowly gutted over the years because of cost-cutting measures, now being taxed to the max because it's generally inadequate in rural America, especially without broadband there. And business expansion, whether that's agricultural based or other business expansion, that's been stymied as well. Talk about broadband, because this is something I think we're going to have to start looking at this in a much more urgent matter, considering the world that we're in right now.
Yeah, definitely. So as I mentioned, work in marketing at the University of Minnesota Rochester, and I have been working remotely since March 13th, as many people have. And because I don't work directly with students, I will be working from home for the foreseeable future. And just like many families that need to have young students, whether they're in elementary school, high school, or in college, rural broadband is huge. There's so much, everything is done on the internet now. It's not necessarily a commodity that some people can live without. Mm-hmm. I use it every single day. I use it all the time. And there are some families that every member has to be able to access good and fast internet to be able to educate themselves, to be able to bring in an income, right? And so it's not just something that maybe is one or two people. It touches all of our lives in many ways, in more ways than one than we may think. And I know there are people, too, that are doing telehealth remotely, too. We're trying to keep everybody healthy, educated, sane during this pandemic. And as mentioned, if I didn't have the internet, I would not have an income currently. Mm-hmm. And so it's a huge issue and something that we need to talk about and we need to do better at, especially for rural areas, because we're just failing our citizens if we don't.
Yeah, same argument they made in the 1930s. We can't put electricity everywhere because look at the cost of this. Well, the reality is we needed electricity everywhere. Well, now in this modern age, we need broadband everywhere. So, you know, if you can't find a private business to do it, well, then the state has an obligation to its citizens to make sure people have access to a quality education, access to health care, access to communities like your community, York City Council, and access to, you know, potential for business growth. That's for sure. I want to drive people, as you've heard me here talk, we do the Democrat of the Day here. We talk about this. Elise Dieselin is 21B. This is down south of the metro. Volunteer opportunities. Imagine most of your volunteering is phone banking, right, Elise?
Yep, right now, currently. We had our first lit drop on Sunday in Mazeppa, and so we're going to continue doing lit drops about once a week. That'll be on weekends if people want to have an excuse to leave their homes and safely interact with people. We're not ringing doorbells. We're just dropping literature off and moving on to the next house. So you kind of get to know our volunteers, potentially meet me. I'm going to be at all of them. And then phone banking can be done from your home if you so choose.
So obviously that's a big one right there. If you need to contact everyone in the district. And we've seen this before, and it's unfortunately, we did it in 2018. We did it with door knocking. This time around, we're going to have to do it with phone calls and being there and ready to answer questions. So we need to help out in 21 beyond that. Also, donations. Once again, help your local Democrat. By all means, please do. But if you're in a relatively safe Democratic district, send some of your money down to 21B. Help Elise take this district. I would love to see Drazkowski beat this year. I think that would make up for a lot of this year. 2020 would be a better year for me, I think, at that point, if we can get Drazkowski out of the Minnesota House. What's the webpage people should be heading to right now, Elise?
So my website is edieselin.com, which is edieselin.com. And you can donate there, or if you want to send a check, you can send a check to P.O. Box 190, in Elgin, Minnesota, 55932.
It's at edieselin, edieselin.com. I will make sure we link to everything on the social media pages a little bit later on. Elise, all my best down there in 21B. Thank you very much for the time. Thanks for being Democrat of the Day today, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much. Again, thank you for the invitation.
My pleasure. Elise Dieselin, 21B, Democrat of the Day. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'll rip on North Dakota for a second, and then we'll do some music. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.